We just celebrated Christmas. I'm going to ask you what you might think is a facetious question. But do you really believe Jesus was born, Jesus lived, and Jesus died? Do you really believe that? A lot of people that believe that don't believe what I'm fixing to say. And that is that He is going to return. They are proponents of Christmas. They get excited about Christmas. They say they believe in Christmas, but they don't believe He's coming back. Today I want to preach when Christ returns. Now that word return, there could not be a return unless He had come the first time. And He from His own lips said, I go away and I will return. I will come again and receive you unto Myself. Jesus said, I will return. Now, if you say, I believe this book, and you say, I believe when God promised that Messiah, Jesus, would one day come, and He did come, and we just celebrated that. If you say, I believe that first coming, did you know there are 7 times the verses that say He's coming the second time? For every 1 verse that said He was coming the first time, there are 7 verses that say He's coming again. But yet, we live as if He's not coming back. Now I'm talking about people sitting right here in this church today that believe the right thing, but you don't live in the reality of it in a daily way, in the daily power of it. You know, there's Bible truths that some of us kind of just stuff in the back of our minds and we say, I believe that, tick that off, tick that off, tick that off. I believe all those things, but I keep living like they're not real. Dear friend, you can say you believe something all you want, but if you don't live in the reality of it, you don't really believe it. You don't really believe it. There's things in our head we say we know. May God make it a force in our hearts and in our daily lives. When Christ returns. Not if Christ returns, but when Christ returns. I want us to read the Scriptures this morning in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 9. Hebrews, chapter number 9, verse number 24 through verse 28. These verses speak about His coming. Verse number 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but unto heaven, into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that He should offer Himself often as the high priest entereth in the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must He often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. God, would you make the truths of this word come alive to us this morning? Help me, Lord, to preach your truth here, to expound and to explain and to draw from these verses, God, the truth of your return the second time. God, make it a mighty impact of each of our lives for this new year, 2012, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you notice the three appearings in this scripture? There are three appearings right here in these verses. Let me point them out to you. Verse number 24. Look at the latter part of the verse. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. Look at verse 26 toward the end of the verse. But now once in the end of the world hath He appeared to put away sin. And then thirdly, in verse 28, the latter part of that verse says, shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Three times here it uses the word appear. That simply means there is something that cannot be seen, that has not been seen, but then it is able to be seen. The dictionary says the word appear means to come into sight, to become visible or to become noticeable. It comes from the Latin word to come into view. Appear. Did you know, did you understand the truth of the invisible God? From the book of Genesis chapter 1, all the way through the Old Testament, all the way into the New Testament, people wanted to see the God. Even Thomas said, even the disciples said, show us the Father. We want to see God. We want to see the Father. And what did Jesus say to those disciples? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Jesus is God come in the flesh. He is the revealing or the appearing of God. We have before us appearance of Jesus. We have before us, we even have a book in the Bible called Revelation. You read what the first chapter and the first verses there say, that the book of Revelation is the revelation or the unveiling of Jesus Christ. It is the appearing of God come in the flesh. Now, words do not have a body. Words are spoken, or words are written, or words are read. But John chapter 1 and verse number 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh. And we beheld, we saw His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He has appeared. He is appearing. He shall appear. Did you notice in the scripture right there, those three times the word appear is mentioned, they take on past, present, future. Each of those appearings, each of those appearances speak of time in past, time in present, time in future. Now, what I'd like for us to do in these next few moments, I want us to see these three appearances in the time factor of the past, the present, and the future. Now the third one is what I'm going to get to. But before I get to the third one, I got to go back. We got to look at the past and the present. So let's look at appearance number one. Here's where we're going to see what he did in the past. And that is in verse number 26. Verse 26 says, down in the middle of the verse, "But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared." That's past tense. That means he has already done this. He hath appeared. And what did he appear to do? To boil it all down, to put it in a synopsis, to bring it to just one sentence, he hath appeared in the past to put away sin. And he did that by the sacrifice of who? Himself. So in the past, what he did was what was prophesied from the beginning of time. The first prophecy in Genesis 3:15, where God said that the seed of woman, meaning the seed of woman, a Jewish Messiah, would come. He would present himself as the Lamb of God, just as John the Baptist said on that day, baptizing in the Jordan River. He pointed everyone and said, "Look, there is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." He came as that Messiah. He came as that Lamb. He came as that sacrifice. From eternity past, God's Word says on several places, in several places, that He was a Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Before the world was created, in the mind and heart of God, He was slain for the sin of the world. The Bible says here that He did this in the past. And as other priests always did, they made sacrifice with something else other than themselves. They sacrificed animals, took their lives, took their blood, sprinkled it on the mercy seat. But this one, he put away sin by offering himself. He died on the cross to bear our sin. So that's the past. We always need to make much of what Jesus did when he came. That's why Christmas in many people's existence, Christmas in many people's homes, Christmas in the general sense in this world is fluff. There's nothing to it. I mean, all they want to do is have the warm fuzzies. They want to just think about, oh, the baby Jesus. They want to just enjoy the decorations. They want to enjoy the festivities. They want to enjoy the family. They want to enjoy the presents. That's not what it's all about. I'm not saying those things cannot be kept in a proper context. But He came to put away sin. Don't get past that. Don't ever stray away from that. Don't ever just gloss over that. That is the most important thing that we believe in the Word of God, is the death, burial, resurrection, sacrifice, payment made, bearing our sin on the cross. That's what He did in the past. Now, where is Jesus right now? He's not down here in His physical body. He's somewhere else right now in His physical body. He is right now in heaven. Well, what's He doing up there? He's just waiting? Is He just sitting there beside the Father, at the right hand of the Father, just waiting? Oh no, He has an active ministry. He has an active ministry that He is involved in right now. Would you look at this second time that it mentions up here? And that is in verse number 24. We see here what He's doing in the present. What Jesus is doing right now. Verse 24, "For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands." Now you've got to understand the context of what this is talking about. Hebrews chapter number 9 is talking about the Old Testament tabernacle, the Old Testament temple, which was made with hands. God told Moses on the Mount Sinai. We're looking at that in Wednesday nights in chapter 25 of Exodus. We're now in chapter number 26 about the different articles in the holy place. The ark, the cherubims, the mercy seat, the candlestick, the table of showbread, and so forth. All of these are pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that tabernacle was made with hands. Here it says in verse 24, Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, like that Old Testament tabernacle, which are like figures of the true. You see, all that tabernacle in the Old Testament was figures or types of that which is to come. But it says that He's not entered into that holy place made with hand, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, the real holy place where God dwells, now to appear in the presence of God. What's those last two words? For us. Two powerful words there tacked on at the end of that verse. Don't miss it. What He's doing right now, since His resurrection, since His ascension back to the Father, what is He doing these past 2,000 years? He is in the presence of God for us. You see, when the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, he could only do it once a year. That Holy of Holies was where the Shekinah glory, the actual presence of God, above the ark, above the mercy seat, where the two cherubim, golden cherubim facing each other over the mercy seat, there, the Shekinah glory of God. You couldn't see God's body because God doesn't have a body. But there was the presence of God dwelling with the people in the holy place. And the priest would go in once a year to make atonement for the sin of the nation of Israel. Well, Christ, He didn't have to do that once a year as the Old Testament high priest would do. But He has gone in once. And He's offered His own blood upon that mercy seat, never to have to be offered again. Not like it says in verse 25, not yet that He should offer Himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then He must have often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once He is made that offering of Himself. Okay, so Brother Rodney, I know He came and He appeared here. And He died upon the cross. He bore our sin. He was buried. He rose again. After many days being witnessed by many, He ascended back to the Father. He sat down at the right hand of the Father. And He says He's coming back. Well, what's He doing in the meantime, in the presence of the Father? What's He doing for us? There's something that is going on that He's doing for us. Well, there's several verses that we could look at, and I'm not going to take the time to turn to those, but just listen, because this third point in just a minute is what I want to get to. But I want you to understand He's doing something right now for us. The Bible says that He ever liveth to make intercession for us. He is pleading our case at the right hand of the Father for us. That does not mean that He is sitting at the right hand of the Father and saying, I'm pleading for Rodney, I'm pleading for Rodney, I'm pleading for you, I'm pleading for you, I'm pleading for you. No, by virtue of the fact He is sitting at the right hand of the Father, He ever lives to make that intercession for us. It is not something that He is doing every second saying that or saying those words. By virtue of the fact that He's offered Himself and He has positioned Himself there, He is our mediator. He is our intercessor. He is the one that stands between the Father and us. He is the sacrifice. He is doing that right now. He is not only interceding for us. The Bible tells us also that He has been touched with all manners of infirmity. He has been touched with everything that any person can be touched with on this earth. He knows what you're going through. He has experienced those same things. That doesn't mean that He experienced sin in the sense that you and I experience sin. But talking about emotions, talking about pain, talking about aloneness, talking about sadness, talking about burden, talking about all these things, the Bible says He can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. We go to Him. We go to Him in that throne of grace. The Bible says we're to go boldly there to find, are you listening? To find help in time of need. That's what He's doing for us right now. There at the throne of grace, He is there for us. Well, that brings us now to our main point. And that is, thirdly, what is He going to do in the future? We've seen two appearances. Here is the third appearance. And that is found in verse number 28. God says there that to them that look for Him shall He appear. The second time. The second time. The second time. He shall appear the second time. That speaks that there had to be a first time. We've seen that. But He is going to appear the second time in this world. This time when He appears, He will not take sin upon Him. He will be without sin unto salvation or deliverance. When He comes the second time, the Bible says that He will right every wrong. He will make things right. He will judge all sin. He will judge all nations. He will make all things new. He will restore everything to the prior, to the way it was before the Adamic fall of Adam and Eve. He will restore everything back to the original creation of the way He made things. The Bible says that He will rule, He will reign, He will set up His kingdom. Folks, we're talking about God appearing the second time to take care of everything. Wouldn't you just like to be able to snap your fingers and everything be taken care of? Everything be right that is wrong. Wouldn't you like to be able to just see resolve of just a few problems in this world? The financial situation, the war situation, the injustice situation. Wouldn't you want to just see one of those things solved? But yet, all of those situations are going to be solved. They're going to be made right when Jesus comes the second time. That's Revelation chapter number 19, where He will come. Riding upon that white horse, He'll come back and He will make war with all of those in opposition. And the Bible says that we that are in heaven will return with Him at that time. The main thing I want you to see this morning, folks, is this. 2012. We have already seen many, many things that have been the domino knocked down. Things are knocking down. Things are being fulfilled. And it could be that this year is the year that Jesus comes back to receive His church. That's the snatching out. That's like coming like a thief in the night. He's going to remove us, translate us like Enoch. But only 7 years later will then He come to appear to the world the second time. When we say Jesus is coming, we really mean two things. The Bible really means two things. To we that know Him, we that are the bride of Christ, He's going to come for His bride. He's going to take us out. He's going to translate us out like He did to Enoch. We're not going to die, but He's going to receive us unto Himself. And the world's not going to know what's happened to all of us. And there's going to be an explanation given. And the world's going to believe that explanation about where all these people went. Because there's going to be one to rise on the scene after we are taken out, who is going to be looked at as the Christ, as the Superman that's going to take care of the financial crisis, going to take care of the war crisis, going to take care of the Israeli-Arab crisis. He's going to have the answer. He's going to be able to broker peace. And He will make a covenant with Israel for 7 years. Of course, during that time, we that have been called out are going to be with Him in heaven. But at the end of that 7 years, a whole lot more in between there, but at the end of the 7 years, Revelation 19 says He will appear the second time. And there every eye shall see Him. And the nations of the world will wail because of Him. And as Zechariah says, every eye will look and see those nail prints in His hands, the place in His side. They will see that we crucified the Lord of glory. They will see Him the second time. And oh, dear friend, the things that will take place then, where God says on this earth there will be that millennium kingdom for 1,000 years ruled from Jerusalem. Oh, Jesus is coming again. When Christ returns, let's talk about it. Let's think about it. Let's live in this truth in 2012. Are you ready? If Christ were to come back today, now we know that His second coming to the earth, where every eye is going to see Him, has to take place at the end of the 7 years of tribulation, according to Revelation, the book of Revelation. For in verses chapter 4 all the way through chapter 18, tribulation, chapter 19, He returns to this earth. So what we're saying is that the first part of His second coming, the snatching away of the saints or the coming for His bride, that secret thing could happen at any moment. That's why the Bible teaches that we are looking for Jesus at any moment. He reiterated that over and over again in Matthew 24, "For in an hour that you think not, the Son of Man cometh." That's why we must live in the moment that Jesus could come today. Being the first day of the new year, we were saying 2012 could be that year. But we've got to boil it down to just minutes, moments. He could come in the next moment. Are you ready? Are you ready if Jesus came right now.